Yeah, 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 come and take a look at the snow. Bright white as far as your eyesight goes. Come and take a look at the fields of snow. I'll just get my coat, then we're good to go. Come and take a look at the lake. Let's have a quick skate before it gets late. Come and take a look at the frozen lake. Put your clothes on, mate, don't make that mistake.
Greetings, holiday shoppers. There are now 137 shopping days left until Christmas, and you know what that means. That means it's time for another episode of Christmas Creeps, your one-stop shop for holiday movies and TV shows all year round. My name is Joseph Wade. I'll be your host for this evening. Here with me tonight is my co-host, Mr. Bradford. Mr. Bradford, what's shaking?
It's 137 chomping days left until Christmas.
That's right. Oh, man. Like, we're going to have so many chomping puns tonight, because tonight we're discussing the 1982 special Christmas Comes to Pac-Land, all about the Pac-Man video game character and all of his family and hangers-on therein.
Buckle in, boys and girls and people beyond the binary, because it's going to be heavy with video game chat.
Welcome to Video Game Chat, the episode.
So, before we get into that, we had a full episode planned for tonight for you.
Yeah, and by planned we mean we had the title selected and then we sat down to watch it and then all hell broke loose.
And yes,
because we like to fly by the seat of our pants on this show a lot, as evidenced by the fact that we hardly ever call our shots ahead of time. This was one of those times where I called our shot, and again, it came back to bite me, because the film, the film in question was a thing that I had found in my local thrift store's like $1 bin called A Frozen Christmas Part 3. And I said, this is surely some, you know, Z-grade children's animation nonsense. We have to
do this. And you'd be right about that.
Yes.
However... However, so Joe loads this up and he's like, ah, man, I wonder why I can find Frozen Christmas 1 and Frozen Christmas 2 on Letterboxd, but I can't find Frozen Christmas 3. He shares the YouTube link with me, which is relevant to the story in just a moment. We sit down to watch this thing and there's like, what, 3 minutes of exposition?
Roughly, like, there are nominally a couple of characters. There's a couple of reindeer and Santa Claus, and they talk to each other. But it is the jankiest, like, Rhapsody Street Kids style animation.
It's like one notch above Rhapsody Street Kids. It is incredible.
And only because technology has come a little bit farther since then.
Yes, yeah, it was absolutely like the same, operating on the same level of technical know-how as Rhapsody Street Kids was done in like 3D Studio Max back in what, like 2002?
Yeah, something like that.
This, at least they had like access to the Unity Asset Store or something, you know? Like there's some shaders going on at least, but
right.
Beyond that. So what this is it's... they start dancing, right?
Yeah, like the Santa Claus is talking to the two reindeers, and they say, like, well, you know, boy, that was sure great how we, you know, did our Christmas deliveries. Now let's do a dance. And they all three proceed to dance, like, in perfect choreography together while, like, a children's choir sings Christmas songs over them. And
you would think, and you thought this was going to stop.
I thought it was going to be... I honestly thought it was a bit. Like, I thought it was a joke that, like, oh, this is just the dumb thing that happens in kids' cartoons. Like, and there was a...
It turns out the joke's on you.
Because it's 71 minutes of nothing but that.
Yeah, you can pan through it. You can find this on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I bring this up because this is very much... So the name itself, right, is already, like, SEO'd.
Oh, yeah.
Perfectly. Because, like, people are searching for Frozen, right?
Right.
And then Frozen Christmas comes up. Oh. Now, this is, like, Cocoa Melon grade. This is something designed to sit, as depressing as the thought is, sit, like, a toddler down in front of, to have them blankly stare at it in the middle distance for, like, 60 minutes, right?
To give mom and dad a break for an hour.
And then we have like I pan through it. We got a polar bear dancing. He's like he's like doing like a hip hop dance to Oh Holy Night or something.
Right.
It's wild, man.
But there was a moment in this where I thought for a second, oh, this might be brilliant. And then
then it wrapped back around and no.
Yeah, that illusion was shattered within like moments, because there's a bit in here where the Santa Claus and the reindeer are talking, and Santa Claus says something along the lines of, well, here's another song to enjoy. And then it smash cuts to a completely different Santa Claus breakdancing to
a different model of
Santa Claus. Much better than the one that was just talking, mind you.
You know what? I bet they farmed this out to multiple people.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
And that would explain the different styles, probably. There's also one. There's one with elves singing, and it's terrifying. Like, the elves look horrible, and then the lip sync is really bad, and then the cover of it, like, it's beyond the pale.
It really is. I'm
surprised this made it to DVD. Honestly,
I don't understand, because it came out in 2018, well into the era when DVDs are starting to get phased out, you know. But also, the part of the reason that I even considered it was because, like, the very fact that it's called A Frozen Christmas 3 made me think there must be some kind of story here, and it's going to be fun trying to glean what the first two were about. But seeing this, I realize, oh, it must have just been all dancing all the time.
It's the elf bowling of Christmas movies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Quick cash grab, kind of in the margins of everything, in the margins of entertainment land, I guess you could say.
Right, and so they
just kind of scraping money off the bottom of the barrel, so to speak.
They squeeze the dollar out of me from the thrift store, and back to the thrift store it shall go. So we got about 10 minutes into this before I realized we had to call an audible and do something drastic, because this could not.
To my knowledge, this is the first time we've 86'd something. Usually we're dedicated to, we're locked in, and what we're doing is what we're doing, right?
Yeah, there's only one other instance I can think of where we officially 86'd something as we were watching it. Do you remember what this is?
Was I present for it?
I think it was your suggestion, and we had to like pull the ripcord and say no.
Did we actually start watching it?
We
Oh yes.
I did.
Yes. Yes, that's right. We were watching an episode of Hoarders, Buried Alive.
Exactly.
Where the lady in question hoarded Christmas stuff, and then we got into it, and it seemed like a good idea at the time, and then like 3 to 5 minutes into it, we were like, this is just a little too exploitative for our taste.
Right. It was just like this is nothing good can come from this. And I feel like a dirtbag even watching.
Well, that's the TLC experience, my friend. Post 2010 TLC, you're not getting away feeling clean.
That's true. Sadly,
I'm not trying to defend it or anything. I'm just saying that's part and parcel for TLC's programming block. Anyways, yes, I forgot about that.
Having done that, we had to call an audible very quickly and decide what we're going to do to replace this, and we landed on Christmas Comes to Pac-Land.
Hooray for
video games. Video games saved the day once again.
They're always there for us.
Right. They will never.
And our highest highs, our lowest lows.
They will never let you down. Much like Santa Claus in a Christmas special, it will never let you down. So I want to give you a couple of quick facts about Christmas Comes to Pac-Land before we jump straight into it.
Please do.
So this was broadcast December 16th, 1982 on ABC. Some other Christmas specials from the same month, which I think it's neat to see which Christmas specials came out when.
Like premiered?
Yeah, like the dates they premiered on TV. So December of 1982, you could have seen the Ziggy Christmas special.
Oh, wow.
Ziggy's gift.
I haven't thought about Ziggy in years.
So then you had Ziggy's gift on December 1st. You had the Smurfs Christmas special December 13th. You had Yogi Bear's All-Star Comedy Christmas Caper December 21st. And then much more serious, less funny than all of these, December 26th, the day after Christmas, we got The Snowman, which of all of those is the one that seems most like actual art. So I'm not going to make fun of it.
That's the one with the famous song, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know the one.
Yeah, I watched it the other night and it reduced me to a puddle of tears again.
Oh, no. Yeah, I probably should relive that at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe this year around Christmas time. Man, we were, I guess 82 was full-blown Smurfs mania at that point, right?
I guess, yeah. This is going to be an interesting thing because this whole era is just before our time.
Yes.
So we're really coming at this secondhand, basically.
Yes, and it was also a little bit pre-TMNT, if I'm not mistaken. Quite a bit before TMNT, I think. I'm trying to be topical here.
Oh, yeah, Ninja Turtles were, the show at least, came out in 87, so yeah, this was a good 5 years before that.
Wow, I was way off. Okay.
But also,
for some reason, I don't know much about Turtles, so I thought they were like 84. Maybe that was like the original comic.
I think that was the original comic. Yeah. So you're not too far off.
All right.
That new Turtles movie though. Oh boy, it sure is good.
Okay. I might have to check that out.
I enjoyed it. Anyway,
did go see Barbie though.
What'd you think of that?
A++. Highly recommend it.
Oh yeah, it's a good old,
a great time.
It's a good old time. As is Oppenheimer, it's just in a different way.
Yeah, we're meaning to see that, but we haven't gotten to it yet. Yeah. Probably just end up streaming that.
You're not wrong. It's a long experience, and bathroom breaks are encouraged.
If Bradford is involved, bathroom breaks are happening regardless. If it's more than 70 minutes, we're not getting through it without a bathroom break.
Right, like, and that's the trick with the bathroom break in the movies is, like, you have to decide, like, is this scene information I need? Yes or no?
And I have to strike a balance between exposition and action.
Right. Right? Because, like, I'm getting to the age where the exposition is more interesting than the action.
Yes.
So I will dip out.
But I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that weird guy that, like, gets up during the middle of a car chase to go to the bathroom.
Oh, I don't care. I'll do it. I have no scruples about getting up whenever I want during a movie.
Good on you.
Anyway.
It's just because I drink too much of the giant freestyle sodas.
Fair enough. I mean,
every time. Without fail.
Oh, boy. So the Pac-Man TV show. Brad, do you know anything about the Pac-Man TV show?
I know what I read on Wikipedia today, this afternoon.
Well, please, would you mind regurgitating some of that for us?
I believe it came out during Pac-Man Fever, or shortly thereafter, Hanna-Barbera joint. What was it, 82?
Yeah, 82 to 83, so it was a very short-lived series.
Yes, but apparently it received pretty good ratings to the point where a rival station, I believe CBS, did what? Supercade? As sort of their response to this. Anyways, we were in the height of sort of golden age arcade characters, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And Pac-Man was at the forefront of it. What's interesting about this to me is, are you familiar with, so the title is Christmas Comes to Pac-Land, right?
Right.
Are you familiar with the arcade game Pac-Land?
I've played it once or twice, but I'm not too familiar with it, no.
So it came out in, surprisingly enough, 84, and it was actually modeled after this cartoon. When we went into this, I was like, oh, this is based on the Pac-Land arcade game. Do a little research, come to find out, Namco actually made Pac-Land, the arcade game, modeled after the Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Wow.
Which is really interesting. So we have like the first instance of Pac-Man with arms and legs.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, the cartoony ghosts that are wearing the hats.
Right, right.
That's all pulled from the cartoon. But interestingly enough, the soundtrack. So there's like a leitmotif for Pac-Land, for in Pac-Land,
okay,
when you're playing the game. It shows up in this cartoon special 2 years before the arcade game.
Ooh.
And that kind of blew me away. I was like, because you know, it's Christmas Comes to Pac-Land. I was like, okay, they pulled that. But then in the background music of this Christmas special, it's like the main leitmotif of the arcade game.
That's really cool.
But it happened completely the other way around that I thought it would have happened.
The arcade uses the leitmotif from the series.
From the cartoon, right?
That's awesome.
It is very cool.
There's only one other instance I can think of where this happened.
Okay.
Where, you know, the X-Men arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
It is based on a failed pilot for an X-Men cartoon that never got picked up. But they decided just to make an arcade game based on that art style because it was so unique. And they just, I guess, Marvel was so high on it that Konami just produced an X-Men game based on that one pilot episode alone.
Yeah.
So that's the only other time where I can think of where, like, the cartoon inspired the game. Well, I guess it's not that different, but you know what I mean.
But we're not talking about licensed games. We're talking about, you know, some sort of property that existed in some form before this whole cartoon first, then.
Right, but like this, to me, it's the same. It's the same, just because like the X-Men game, like all the character models, all of the sights and sounds are ported straight from that one cartoon episode.
From that one pilot.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not talking about licensed games here, but yes. Where some property like this clearly influenced the creation of an arcade work,
right,
if you will. Yes. Pac-Land is weird, though. Pac-Land has quite a legacy of its own. It came out in 84 and actually is often quoted as sort of the inspiration for Super Mario Brothers, no less.
Ooh.
Because before this, you didn't have like platform action sort of going from point A to point B games, and so it was actually pretty novel at the time.
Mm.
To the point where the control scheme wasn't codified. If you remember playing it, it actually has, it's a three button game, and you have one button for walk forward, one button for walk back, and one button for jump. But to run, you'd have to, like, hammer the walk forward button and then hold it.
Whoa, okay.
It's a weird game. I remember playing it when I was little and loving the heck out of it. But it's sort of prehistoric in the conventions of, you know, Mario sort of created the platforming genre. But this is some sort of, you know, this is like the fossilized dinosaur version of it right before Super Mario Brothers came out.
Right. It's like the Cro-Magnon man before Homo sapien shows up on the scene.
Precisely. really interesting game. It's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah. Like,
try it out sometime.
I'm watching a long play of it and it does look like kind of difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a strange game. And when they ported it to the NES, they left that control scheme intact,
which is
a big choice. So it does not control like Mario. It's a mood.
Oh man! So the one last thing about Pac-Man before we'll get into the special that kind of blows my mind about this is like this special came out in 82. Pac-Man had only been out for like 2 years at this point. You know, the actual arcade game.
The fever was hot.
Like Miss Pac-Man came out in early 82. Baby Pac-Man came out in late 82. And
is that the one with the pinball machine inside of it?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever played that one?
Yes. There's a crab restaurant not too far from where I live that has an arcade and they have a baby Pac-Man.
Ooh, nice.
Weirdest thing in the world to have it at a seafood restaurant, but they have a baby Pac-Man.
There is an arcade in the shopping mall in North Myrtle Beach that has a baby Pac-Man, and every time I go in there, I have to play it. Such an odd little thing.
It's the weirdest. It's very odd.
Because like the top half of the game is like the Pac-Man screen, but then like once the level changes, it jumps straight down to the bottom, which is the pinball machine, and they kind of work in tandem.
It's I love old experimental stuff like that. Yeah. Like, you don't see that sort of thing anymore.
They just don't. Yeah, you don't see that kind of innovation anymore. It's kind of a lost art.
Yes.
Anywho.
Listen to us, two old farts talking about this stuff.
Farts talking about old video games from before we were even born.
From before we were born, but still hold a candle for.
Near and dear to our hearts. Anyway, so Christmas Comes to Pac-Land opens, as any good Christmas special should, with Santa and his reindeer on their Christmas Eve flight. And Santa is marveling at how his computer list, or his Christmas list, is computerized. It's going to make everything, you know, easy for him. And then right away, I'm struck because the voice of Santa Claus is a very distinct voice, and I know who it is right away.
Who is
it? It's Peter Cullen, who voices to this day Optimus Prime from Transformers.
Get out. That's and you'd think the computer thing would come back up in the plot.
Not a bit.
Definitely doesn't.
Not a single bit. So it is odd to say that the star of Christmas Comes to Pac-Land is also the main character in a major summer blockbuster from 2023.
He still does the voice.
He still does. I mean, the Beast Wars movie came out this summer. It's actually not bad.
Miss me with that, but I've heard it, I'm happy for people who enjoy that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Santa's flight is interrupted because of a fight that breaks out between Pac-Man and his ghost enemies. The ghosts who have incorporated a woman into their gang. Good for them.
It's, yes, Sue.
Inky?
Inky, Blinky, Pinky, Clyde, and Sue.
Right.
And she shows up in the Pac-Land arcade game as well.
Oh, okay.
I think she's in Super Pac-Man as well.
That's
Pac-Heads, don't at me.
Right. That's another Pac-Man that I've never experienced.
I know there's a fifth ghost in Pac-Man Arrangement. Have you ever played Pac-Man Arrangement?
No.
Really great, too. I'm sorry, it's going to keep going back to different Pac-Man games. But, I mean, we're doing the Pac-Man Christmas special. What do you expect?
Exactly, yeah. But so Pac-Man is busy building snow ghosts for baby Pac-Man to practice munching on. And
there's a lot of crunching and munching going on in this
episode. Absolutely.
And Ms. Pac-Man is there. Pepper Pac-Man is there. So here's another fun factoid for you. You know the weird rights thing with Ms. Pac-Man, right?
I think I do. Remind me.
So basically somebody claims to hold the rights to Ms. Pac-Man in the United States. It's one of those plug and play. I think it's like At Games or something like that.
Oh.
Found like a weird loophole to where they're able to claim Ms. Pac-Man within the United States, which is why so many of these collections that come out either don't include Ms. Pac-Man at all or have to include it as separate DLC.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not Bandai Namco is not allowed to package it all together because of the weird rights thing with Ms. Pac-Man, but it's always been kind of shaky because, you know, it was a ROM hack to begin with that wasn't authorized by Namco.
Right. I know that
so it was
much.
always in a weird legal gray area, but with the most recent release of, last year, Namco released Pac-Man Museum Plus. They basically have memory holed Ms. Pac-Man and created a new character named Pac-Mom. and I'm not making this up. You can go look it up. There's Pac-Mom. But they still haven't released Ms. Pac-Man, which is the best Pac-Man game ever.
Absolutely.
Everybody agrees. I mean, come on. I was lucky enough to have a convenience store in the college town that I went to that had, for whatever reason, you know, you don't run across convenience stores that have arcade games in them too often. For whatever reason, this convenience store that was open 24 hours had a Ms. Pac-Man cabinet, like, stuck in one of the aisles between, like, the Twinkies and the Slim Jims. And it was amazing. And I'd go there and play it all of the time. It was a mood. I miss it dearly. They tore down the building that the convenience store was in. Yet another foggy recollection of another time, reflecting yet another time, because I don't think you would run across many convenience stores that have arcade games.
No, Sheetz certainly doesn't do that, do they?
Oh, it'd be so cool if they had like just one arcade game. Come on. Right?
Right. I mean, I think in our group chat on Discord, I've kind of come out as Mr. Sheets. So I'm like the Sheets stan of the group. So all I'm saying is, like, if we had a Miss Pac-Man in there, I'd be there every day. All I'm saying.
Different age, different time.
Yep, sure was. Anyway.
I get why it's not that way, because we're pretty much the only people that would play it and do that sort of thing. Anyways.
Right.
The ghosts and the packs have a fight, and in cartoon fashion, the packs trick the ghosts into throwing the power pellets at them. They munch them, and their eyes fly up into the sky, as one does in a Pac-Man game, and that's what spooks the reindeer, and Santa crashes.
Right, and he loses the sack of toys in the drink, and Santa gets recovered by Pac-Man and his kin. And the ghost eyes go back to their home and return to the dirty sock drawer, where I assume all of the people that the ghosts used to embody were killed and stuffed into.
Oh, that's morbid. I thought it was just the ghost house, because they call the rectangle in the middle the ghost house.
Right.
But in the cartoon, it's a literal house.
Right. But
apparently have you ever seen like a normal episode of the cartoon?
I have not, no.
Okay, apparently there's some sort of, like, Gargamel-esque figure that controls the ghost, and you see his castle for, like, a second, but he's not in the Christmas special.
Oh, okay.
And he's, like, the big bad, or whatever.
See, I didn't know Pac-Man had a big bad. Like, I just thought it was the ghosts hounding him all the time.
It doesn't, except for the cartoon.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure maybe, like, the Pac-Man World games have some sort of big bad, but I've never played those, so yeah. Who knows. But the interesting thing that happens when Santa crash lands is the packs all discover him, and they're like, whoa, it's a Martian. What is this strange creature? Like, they've never seen a human before.
Right.
And then, of course, Santa's never heard of the packs or of Pac-Land. And so essentially Santa's been isekai'd into, yep, I'm calling it. He's been isekai'd into Pac-Land. You heard it here first. Hey, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
You're familiar with the concept of isekais, right? At this point?
Yeah, let's say I am. And I'm not furiously Googling it right now.
Is a kid in King Arthur's court an isekai?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes.
Okay, is a Yankee, what is it, a Yankee in King Arthur's court?
A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's court.
It's also an isekai. It's the world's first isekai. Sorry, I'm going to stop. Anime is over. I shouldn't talk about this.
Brad, I keep telling you anime was a mistake. We decided this.
It was a mistake. So essentially, the Pax and Santa have to catch each other up on the fact that each other exists. The Pax have fallen away from God's light and salvation, apparently.
Well, Pac-Man was not made in God's image, clearly.
He was made in a pizza's image.
So that god is Italian.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. So they take Santa back home and they warm him up. Santa explains the concept of Christmas to them. Not very well. It's mostly just Santa explaining, this is what I do once a year, okay?
Yes. But that's enough.
That's enough. Meanwhile, the ghosts find Santa's toy bag. And, you know, Santa...
Start playing with the toys?
They're just playing with the toys. Yeah. And
but then they want to chomp Pac-Man when he comes to recover it with the dog chomp chomp.
Right, because that's like their entire motivation is just, we just want to chomp Pac-Man, and Pac-Man just wants to chomp them. Like, it's just a vicious cycle. It really is.
Okay, we have to talk about how this ends.
Okay,
so Pac-Man distracts the ghosts and is running away from them. Chomp chomp gets all the toys and makes a hasty retreat.
Chomp chomp is the dog, ghost... by the way.
Chomp Chomp is the dog, is Pac-Man's dog, who has also been retconned into Pac Buddy.
Oh.
Thank you. Yes, I don't know why. Maybe they don't want to pay rights to Hanna-Barbera.
Maybe so.
Who holds the rights to Hanna-Barbera stuff nowadays, anyways?
Oh, that's a great question.
Would it be Turner? Because they have Boomerang.
Hanna-Barbera is, let's see. They were absorbed into Warner Brothers Animation.
Oh, okay. Because what we watched was on Internet Archive and was actually a rebroadcast on Boomerang, which I assume is not around anymore.
It might still be, but I don't think it's... I mean, nothing on cable is as big as it used to be because of...
As robust
everything.
As it used to be.
Right.
For those of you playing at home, Boomerang was Cartoon Network's... Turner Broadcasting's Cartoon Network spinoff where they put all the old cartoons. And it was really good, actually, to just kill some time and watch some old cartoons every once in a while.
Yeah. It was great. I mean, they started out with the old Hanna-Barbera stuff, like your Yogi Bears.
Yogi Bears, your Tom and Jerry's.
Yeah.
They had a lot of Looney Tunes stuff as well.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, later, much like Nick at Night, the longer it went, the more recent the shows became. Like, they started showing, like, Dexter's Laboratory and Powerpuff Girls. And that's what made me feel old.
Right.
Ugh. Yeah. Boomerang is still around as of at least September 2018. So get your Boomerang, kids.
why that date specifically?
The last reported date on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
As of September 2018, I mean, we're just reading Wikipedia now. Boomerang is available to approximately 38 million pay television households in the U.S.
Honestly, I will never pay for a cable subscription, but if there's one thing that would make me pay for a cable subscription, Boomerang is up there, which is, I realize I'm in the very small minority, because it's like one step above those terrestrial television channels that just show old public domain reruns.
Oh, I know. Like, it's like one step above MeTV, which is all I really
exactly.
want.
Exactly.
Like, if I could pay like the $10 a month for like the three or four channels I wanted on cable, I'd be all over. Just give me Boomerang and give me Turner Classic Movies. That's really all I want.
Yeah,
but
what a world.
Yeah, you know, in a sane world, that's how things would work. But the end of this special is coming up soon, so let's get to it.
All right. Sorry.
It's okay.
I was going to talk about how this fight ended. The in kind of surprising fashion, the ghosts actually catch Pac-Man.
They do.
And they chomp him. They chomp him.
They chomp him good.
But I guess what happens when Pac-Man gets chomped in the cartoon is he just gets kind of sad.
Right.
That's kind of all that happens. A little bit weak, a little bit sad. I guess they drain his energy. I don't know.
It's like
they don't really get into it.
It's like the thing my grandparents used to tell me, which I know this is. I know I'm the one who's getting morbid on this show, and I'm sorry.
But, no,
you know, my grandparents would always say, like, you know, dead people can't hurt you, but they can make you hurt yourselves.
Ooh, that's a good quote.
It's, yeah, and so the ghosts, they can chomp Pac-Man. The ghosts, you know, they can chomp Pac-Man all they want, but they're just hurting his pride, really.
By the way, I think dead people can hurt you. Actually, I don't think I ever mentioned this. Last month, I stayed in a haunted hotel.
Ooh.
According to USA Today, the third most haunted hotel in the United States. Thank you very much.
Where on earth was this?
This was in Old Town San Diego, the Cosmopolitan Restaurant and Hotel. They haven't operated as a restaurant since that started the pandemic, but it is still a hotel. Let me tell you, didn't encounter any ghosts, but it was home to the world's most uncomfortable bed. My back still hurts from sleeping in the antique bed that they had in the room.
Oh, Bradford.
No, it was, I mean, it was certainly a creepy vibe. They had ghost tours going through the lobby every night when I came back, which was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a weird splatter on the wall that looked a lot like blood.
Oh, great.
So that was fun. That was a lot of fun in my room. And there's a journal in every room. And the first night that I get there, I open up the book and the first page I open to, it says 2 a.m. is when the ghosts come out. And I'm like, great. Gonna try to not be awake at 2 a.m. Oh man. No, I didn't encounter any spooks or specters, but also apparently I was not in the most haunted of rooms. I was in the ADA accessible room, so there had been a bit of remodeling going on. But anyways,
I would love
it. It was still a fun experience, but I don't think I'm going to stay in any hotel with vintage furniture anytime soon.
No, it's a novelty, but it's also kind of impractical, so I understand that.
They weren't very good at making beds in the late 1800s, let me tell you.
I'd rather sleep on a pile of dirt, I guess.
Bed technology has come a long way.
I'd love to share a similar haunted hotel story real quick, if you'll have it.
Please do. Please do. I mean, we're talking about ghosts.
We're talking about ghosts, and this is my show, so I can say what I want.
Yes, you can.
Last year for my birthday, Nikki took me to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
Not. You know, I'm no big Civil War buff, but I enjoy American history as much as the next guy, and we enjoy going to haunted hotels a lot. So she took me to this bed and breakfast called the Gaslight Inn, which was actually lovely, and I recommend people stay there. But our room had a painting of General Pickett on the wall.
Oh, no. I already do not like this.
As soon as we check in to the room, we're like, oh, okay, that's General Pickett. We get it. Civil War, whatever. We go to bed that night, turn the lights out. The street light comes in the window and just shines on his face. And we're both looking at that going, nope, not having that.
Were there blinds you could close at least?
I think we tried to put something in front of the painting so we didn't have to look at it at night.
Just put a hat over the face of the painting.
Because, I mean, they were all creepy dudes back then, but this guy was especially like it's like they were putting this in the room specifically to try and scare you.
I think that this was an intentional choice. Did this hotel bill itself as haunted?
It didn't, but as numerous tour guides told us, if anybody asks whether or not a certain building in Gettysburg is haunted, the answer is always yes. Okay, just because of the amount of carnage that went through that city.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, Gettysburg's a good time. That hotel was actually lovely, and the people that ran it were great. But that room, that painting, good Lord.
Maybe move the painting.
Right.
Got it. Cool. I guess we should talk about the Christmas special we were talking about.
Sure.
Huh? So the bag of toys is recovered through some effort, but Santa's like, oh no, it's too late.
Pac-Man appeals to the ghost's better angels and tries to call a truce for Christmas.
Yes, and he somewhat succeeds because they're apparently driving to a special spot in the car after the other pack person and the pack cop, I guess, for lack of a better description, repair the sled.
Right, yeah. The denizens of Packland.
Yeah, the two other denizens of Packland that are named. And they take this sled and they go to the power pellet forest where all of the reindeer eat the power pellets. Hooray.
And they're supercharged and they give Santa the speed that he needs to finish his deliveries.
So remember, kids, if you need to finish something fast,
eat your
substances are the key.
Substance abuse is key to job productivity. I do know about Pac-Man that the idea of eating power pellets was inspired by Popeye eating spinach.
Ah.
So there's a little bit of, like, you know, a thread going on there.
A through thread to back to cartoons.
Right.
There's also the Popeye arcade game.
Yeah, yeah,
had kind
yeah.
of a similar thing going on where you could power up by eating the spinach.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not out of nowhere, the power pellets thing.
Yes. So there's still more to this, because the packs get back to their house and they find a Christmas tree and presents and the ghosts are going to chomp them again. These guys, they never quit. But they give them, the packs give the ghosts presents and a truce is called for the rest of Christmas.
Hooray. And I love
much like World War One, they spend a nice Christmas together, but we'll go back to trying to destroy one another the following day.
Of course. The ghosts, they kind of stammer out, you know, oh, we don't know what to say to gifts and presents. And then baby Pac-Man says, how about thank you?
Yes.
Teaching kids an important lesson.
It is good to say thank you.
It is good to say thank you.
That's pretty much the only lesson in this entire special, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than your general schmaltzy goodwill to men.
Sure,
but
whatever.
Kind of not really, but they really gloss over it and don't really get into it.
Also, hey kids, play Pac-Man.
Play Pac-Man. Buy all our playsets and toys. Boom.
Yes. So that's Christmas Comes to Pac-Land. Bradford, what do you make of all this?
I enjoyed it, but that's me being me.
Yeah.
I like Pac-Man a lot. I like all of Namco's kind of early to mid 80s arcade output to begin with. So anything adjacent to that, I am 110% for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I bought Pac-Man Museum Plus, for God's sake. Come on, what do you expect?
Yeah, I enjoyed this just on the sheer novelty of, like, it's a Pac-Man Christmas special and the 80s-ness of it all. Like, basically every 80s cartoon looked and sounded like this, and the plots were all the same. So, like, the characters are the only thing that's interchangeable. But
it was very Hanna-Barbera, especially with, like, the lines and the delivery.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Like Pac-Man and most of the ghosts all have that kind of
weird Brooklyn accent.
Yeah, that weird, like, Brooklyn angry dad accent.
It's very odd.
It's,
man, we'll get him. You know?
It's so strange.
It's so but weird. It's what a choice.
It's fun, though. I really enjoy it just for the sheer novelty of it. And
absolutely.
Would I play this? Would I put this on at a Christmas party? That's the metric that we always come around to on stocking stuffers.
Hell yes, this would make it into a Christmas.
Yeah, why not?
Are, like, you kidding me? Are you? Yes, for sure.
Especially like our generation and our age. I feel like if we're gonna put on a Christmas party, it's gonna be an 80s Christmas party. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Even though we only were alive for the later half of it and probably don't remember most of it,
right? But millennials have that weird misplaced nostalgia for the 80s. That our pal Jerry D has kind of cornered on Totally Rad Christmas, but it's, we can't escape it.
It's, I early 90s were basically honored, you know, honorary 80s, essentially. It was a hangover from the 80s.
It really truly was, and that was our, the early 90s were our 80s, damn it.
Yes. what was I going to say? Yeah, absolutely, this would... And it's the kind of Christmas special where it's absolutely like background watching, like turn your brain off, watch it for a couple minutes. You get the complete idea.
Right.
Oh, they gotta save Christmas. Santa's not gonna be able to make his deliveries on time. Will they save the day? Of course they will. It's an 80s Christmas special.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yes. And two, I mean... It calls to mind some of the other video game Christmas specials we've watched, namely Sonic Christmas Blast, where the plot of Sonic Saving Christmas is so convoluted it has no reason to exist. But then with Pac-Man, it's just, oh, there's Santa Claus, we have to save Christmas, over and done with. There's a simplicity to it that I appreciate.
Yes, absolutely.
So... two thumbs up here from us at Christmas Creeps for Christmas Comes to Pac-Land. Maybe we will revisit Pac-Man here soon because Home for the Holidays is coming up, and I know there's a Halloween special as well.
Oh, yeah. So I think we got to do that.
We may have to dip back into the Pac-Man of it all here soon. We're going to wrap things up here at Christmas Creeps. We've kind of gone way too long talking about Pac-Man and all things adjacent. But I do want to point out Frozen Christmas 3. We're going to throw the link in the show notes. You have to check this out because it's just like, once you see it, you'll understand why we decided not to do it.
Scrub through it. So there's a YouTube video it's ancient at this point. It's like 15 years old, where the story behind it is there's this guy in college for game dev, and he takes an animation class, and apparently the teacher was just... not suited to this class, right? And taught them like four things, right?
Right.
And for his final thesis, his animation is like this dancing bear, and it's very crudely animated, and he got an A+, and at the very end, it's like just the lowest effort slapped together in 15 minutes, and it says thanks for nothing, and he gets an A+ on it, because he's like, I used every single thing he taught us in the class. That's what that reminds me of for Frozen Christmas 3. Can you put the other one in the show notes as well. Yeah, the bear.
It's called Colin's Bear Animation. I'll put it in there.
Colin's Bear Animation.
Oh man. You know what's crazy too? I'm looking at the thing here. November 29th, 2007. And the bear animation, this may be off the mark, but I'm going to call it now. That bear is like a stock bear model from like some cartoon that came out in 2006 called Open Season, where like it's about a bear.
Is it really the bear from Open Season?
It's almost exactly the bear from Open Season.
And then the music is from, I think the music's from Mother 3. It's like just completely ripped assets. Awesome.
Wonderful. I love it. But next time on Christmas Creeps, we're going to call our shot again. We do have another actual Christmas film. It is The Dog Days of Summer, where we're trying to bring you a crappy Christmas dog movie. We're going to be watching A Doggone Christmas from the... When was that? Should know this by now. A Doggone Christmas from 2016. So go check that out and come on back and we will talk all about it. Friends, thank you for listening. We've really enjoyed bringing you this episode. We are on all the social networks you could possibly imagine. We're on Facebook. We're still on Twitter, but we're also on Blue Sky now.
No, you're not allowed to call it that anymore. Please call it Twitter. Call it Twitter. We're calling it Twitter. It's still Twitter.
You know, if we really wanted to be pedantic about it.
What?
When you say Xmas, now you have to call it Twittermas. Oh, man. All the socials. X, Facebook, Blue Sky, Threads.
Are we on Threads?
We are on Threads. Threads.
Oh, why would you do that to yourself? We're a brand, so I guess it makes
covering
sense.
The bases, you know? And
I suppose
trying to keep the brands and the SEO up. Like we just today, we got an email from somebody saying that we were listed on their list of like the 35 best Christmas podcasts out there right now. And we're number one.
Spoiler alert. We're number one. Apparently.
Like I'm already like dubious of this. I'm wary of it.
I think this thing was probably written by an AI for sure, right?
Probably, because
like if you look at their criteria, they're like, we have a team of experts who vet every podcast for it's...
like any team of experts vetting any podcast would put us anywhere near any list.
I think we'd be like conservative estimate number 20, maybe.
We would be one of the Christmas movie podcasts of all time.
We also ran.
Right. But like the simple fact is like the other 34 podcasts are none that we've ever heard of.
I've never heard of a single one of them.
As Christmas podcasters?
Yeah, none of our other podcast Christmas podcast friends are on this list. It's weird.
It's so strange. But anyway, we enjoy having an audience, and we'd like to continue to grow that audience. So please go follow us on the socials. Go leave us what do you call those things where people write words to say how good they think the thing is?
Leave a review.
That's the one.
That one.
Leave a review.
Tell a friend.
Just you know, come join our Discord channel and talk and chat with us about nonsense because that's kind of all we do anymore. We'll put the Discord link in our show notes.
Keep trading the tapes.
Keep trading those tapes. Friends, Romans, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I've been Joseph Wade.
I'm Bradford.
We will see you down the road for the Dog Days of Summer. Good night, everybody.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.